Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 52 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today's Thursday, September 20th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. South Central Alaska has its white moose. Now Southeast Alaska has its white deer. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Phil Mooney was tagging mountain goats on Baranof Island outside of Sitka in late August and saw the unusual animal from his helicopter.
While we were flying in to drop me off on the ridge, we spotted them and actually thought it was almost at first time was a goat in mixed in with the deer, which we have seen sometimes, but it turned out to be this deer.
The Sitka black-tailed deer is a buck, still in velvet. The animal is a very light bluish-gray. When a black bear has this kind of coloring, it's called a glacier bear. Neither the glacier bear nor this glacier deer is an albino. Mooney says it's a recessive gene found every once in a while on Admiralty, Baranof, and Chichikov Islands.
We have had a few of these come in over the years, taken on almost all three of the islands, I believe, by hunters that have been out there and caught one of these walking by.
The same genetic arrangement affects other types of mule deer as well as whitetails. Mooney says that the coloring can be highly variable, sometimes going to black or displaying combinations of this light gray with patches of a more typical brown showing through. The glacier deer was one of a herd of 14 bucks and two very content does, Mooney says. You can see a picture of the glacier deer on our website, kcaw.org. Three people want to be mayor of Sitka in October. Incumbent Mayor Cheryl Westover is seeking re-election and facing challenges from Assemblymembers Tor Christensen and Mim McConnell. On Tuesday, they were in our studios to answer your questions. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
One of the risks that comes with having an on-air call-in forum is that nobody will call in. Tuesday night, that was not a problem.
The latest you guys have all mentioned it is the dam.
I'd like to know or hear what your thoughts are as far as affordable housing.
So my taxes went up 60. That's 60, not
of our renewable 60. Resource, water.
Really about creating a sustainable community here in Sitka.
You called, you posted on Facebook, and you emailed. Lots of issues came up, but for the purposes of this story, we're going to focus on one. Back in March 2011, the Assembly did away with Sitka's Long-Range Planning and Economic Development Commission. The group had come to the Assembly seeking guidance on its mission, and all three mayoral candidates voted on the commission's future at the Assembly table. Christensen and Westover voted to do away with the group. McConnell wanted to keep it. On Tuesday night, a listener emailed to ask the candidates about that decision. He wrote that Sitka has not had any new ideas for economic development lately, and wondered how the candidates felt about their decision back in 2011. Mim McConnell was the first to answer.
I would definitely like to see a long-range planning commission come back again.
She said she didn't know exactly what form that would take or whether it would include economic development. The city already contributes money to the Sitka Economic Development Association for that function, she said. But
we need a commission to be working on planning. And I have lots of ideas on the type of planning that could happen and would love to task a commission to get to work.
Christensen said if the Long-Range Planning Commission had been the only ones doing that particular work, he might have voted differently, but that to him there appeared to be a lot of duplicated efforts.
I'd like to see us actually do the planning with the groups we have. If it truly becomes, that there's a need, I wouldn't have a problem with forming something temporarily. I think that when we make part of the problem with that commission that it was formed permanently, and I think we have the task and then we create the group to do that task, and then we have the next task, we create another group.
Westover agreed that there was duplication and not a whole lot of direction.
I haven't seen the need, and at the time when people said we don't have long-range planning, well, I agree almost with everything Tor said, we've got CETA making economic decisions, we've got our planning commission, we've got our police and fire commission, and more importantly, we have city staff and public works. If people would take time to go see what they've done, they've got a road plan, they've got building plans.
And Westover said it seemed like the city was having a hard time keeping boards and commissions full. Long-range planning was one of more than a dozen topics the mayoral candidates covered during Tuesday night's 85-minute forum. You can hear their answers to every question on our website, kcaw.org. The municipal election is October 2nd. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Bronco.
A collaborative effort involving government, environment, and business interests has kept a construction contract in cake. While it's a small job, those involved say it's a model that could be duplicated in other economically strapped villages. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Luther Kobe lives in Cake, a village of about 600 people on the northwest coast of Southeast's Kuprinoff Island. His business, CSC Tree Service, was recently awarded a contract for some small Forest Service projects about 15 miles from town. But he has to wait.
The moose season started, and there's going to be a lot of people driving back and forth. So I'm just kind of waiting for the big bang start now. Everybody's all excited to hunt, and then give them a few days for it to calm down, and then there won't be so many people out there.
What's called the Little John Stewardship Project will replace or repair some deteriorating culverts and bridges. Kobe says he and two other residents will work on the project.
The money I make on this job, it all goes back into the community. That's the gas, the wages, the equipment rentals, all that stuff goes back into the community. These small villages, they really need stuff like that.
The contract was originally larger and included tree thinning and other timber work. But the Forest Service scaled it back, making it easier for local businesses to compete. The logging component could become part of a separate contract. The changes came after meetings with local businesses, conservation groups, and others. Tom Parker is an agency resource planning supervisor.
The Petersburg Ranger District is working heavily on collaboration with local communities. And, it's an emphasis that I see coming from the forest itself, as well as from our district ranger, who brings over a lot of experience from the Thorn Bay Ranger District and a lot of collaboration efforts over there.
The Forest Service also purchased and shipped in supplies and materials because cake businesses could not afford to buy them up front. That practice also saved some money. The work will help improve salmon streams in the area. Old and damaged culverts can act as barriers for fish returning to spawn. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, a coalition of environmental groups, was among those collaborating on the project. Community organizer David Hafey says it was a success.
The Little John Stewardship Project intended to package work on Kuprinoff Island in a way that actually benefited the ecological health of Kuprinoff Island as well as the economic health of Cake.
Many in the timber industry say the transition is bad for the region. Critics point out that a small contract's value, $26,000 in this case, is just a fraction of what one logger could make in a year. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
A Southeast utility is trying to figure out how to make hydropower more efficient. The Southeast Alaska Power Agency serves Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg. The agency wants to know if new technology could capture hydropower during times when it's plentiful and save it for times when it's most needed, using hydrogen. KSTK's Ann Hillman has more.
The problem with hydropower is that sometimes the water flow and the electric needs of the community don't match up. Limited water supplies produce less electricity in the winter when power loads are higher, so Southeast communities have to rely partially on more expensive diesel. In the late summer and early fall, lots of rain leads to large flows when less power is needed. The extra water is allowed to spill over the dam.
And as we speak, both Swan Lake and Tai'i Lake are spilling energy. And when you spill, the water is lost and cannot be captured or used later for hydroelectric production. So we want to find a way to store up that energy so we can use it later when loads are high.
That's Eric Wolf, Director of Special Projects with Southeast Alaska Power Agency. SEPA is seeking support and funding for a feasibility study examining the potential of storing extra power from the summer for use in the winter. One option would be using the extra water that currently spills over to create electricity that could split water into hydrogen. The hydrogen is then used as a power source in the winter when loads are high but water flow is low. The extra energy can also be stored in ammonia. Wolf says that if the project works, one benefit would be not needing to rely on diesel in the winter.
The second benefit is it makes all hydro projects more valuable. And that's a very long-term goal. But if you don't need a dam to operate a power plant, and you could effectively store energy in a different medium, then all kinds of options open up for hydropower.
Wolf says you wouldn't have to build a dam to control and store up water to create consistent electricity. Instead, the power could be produced from the natural flow of water, then held in storage tanks until it's needed. Wolf says that eliminates the environmental problems that come with dams, like blocking fish passage and hurting water quality. For KSTK, I'm Ann Hillman.
Sitka police responded to the 300 block of Moeller Drive Tuesday night after a man was found unresponsive with a gun in his hand. A family member found 77-year-old Alan Reist, and responding officers pronounced him dead on the scene. Police said Wednesday that he appeared to have suffered a single gunshot wound to the head and that evidence suggests the wound was self-inflicted. His body is being sent to the state medical examiner's office for further investigation. Dedication ceremony is planned tomorrow to name a downtown Juneau park after a late Catholic bishop. The Bishop Michael Kenny Peace Park is located at 3rd and Seward Streets. Kenny was appointed the bishop for the Diocese of Juneau in 1975. He died 20 years later. Veterans for Peace led the effort to name the park in Kenny's honor. T.J. Metcalf with the group says Kenny preached peace and nonviolence. And the latest windstorm to hit Anchorage caused problems at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport yesterday. Airport spokeswoman Trudy Wassel said that 7 flights had to be diverted yesterday because of weather. She said 2 are commercial flights flown by Alaska Airlines. The other 5 were cargo planes. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for cloudy areas of drizzle and fog this morning. Highs around 58. Light winds becoming northwest 10 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Highs around 59. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.